Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Come on to the Rock Show. Come on to the People Show. Come on to the Premier Show, SmackDown.
The date is the 29th of August, 1999. A little-known film called Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, is top the pops in the UK box office. And Jerry Halliwell, mi chico Latino, a.k.a. my Latin boy. That's exactly how she pronounced it as well, Tom. Was in the charts and annoying people. And also annoying me, because I did not know how the song went. I played it once in preparation for this. Hasn't left my head since.
Oh, take me back.
That's it. Steve Corino. And a little known show called SmackDown was making its proper debut after pilot a month earlier. Is it still on the show? Still on the show. Is it still on the air?
You're doing great, mate.
Is it still on the air? Was it good? What happened to The Rock? The answer to these questions and more can only be found on this SmackDown retro review with, ladies and gentlemen, the Chuck to my Billy, Tom Campbell.
I am happy to be the Chuck to your Billy, sir. I'm annoyed that you've brought cake in with you. Like, you're deliberately triggering me. I feel triggered.
That was here when I got here. I thought you brought it.
No, I ain't touched cake since the Great Cake Escape on last Wednesday. It was, if you haven't watched it, it's on the YouTube channel. Somebody, right? I had a message from somebody in America. And it always excites me when I see a picture of somebody's living room in America watching Cultaholic. I don't know why, but it was a lady in Chicago and her husband were having a romantic night in, having their dinner, watching my cake escape challenge.
Oh, bless.
I know. This is why TV's dying.
Oh, I saw that.
People are watching that.
Yes,
thank
right.
you, though, Desi. Very kind.
Yes, they should be watching.
They should be watching normal. Like, Game of Thrones cost millions to make. Like, invest time in that. Like, that massive battle episode. Greatest bit of television you've ever seen. And there's several thousand people watching me eat cake on a stream.
Well, in fairness, this was better lit.
That is true, sir. That is very true.
They should be watching proper TV. Like Gogglebox.
Gogglebox.
And Celebrity Gogglebox.
All the best programmes. Matthew, how are you this week, sir?
I'm great. I did not bring that cake in, actually. You brushed your beard and I fell out.
God, I smelt like old butter for a good 2 days after that challenge.
I
old
bet.
Butter.
No doubt. And I'm doing very well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to get an excuse to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then people said, you did a good job. I went, no, Tom did a good job.
No, we
and
both.
I was behind him the whole way.
We both did a great... It was a love... Thank you very much. We kind of put the idea out there that we don't quite know what form this is going to take, whether it's going to be me and Math just watch an episode of SmackDown and provide a commentary over the top, or whether we do an abbreviated, like, let's look back at it, akin to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review that I do with Justin Henry. So we're kind of offering you both formats to decide which one you prefer. There's a radio station that did this a few years ago. They did five formats in 5 days, where, like, they were a rock station on the Monday, they were a country station on the Tuesday, or whatever.
What?
To decide which one the people liked. I think they went with the adult contemporary that plays Ed Sheeran. Funny that. Isn't it? I think like most of them do. So we're offering you multiple formats to decide which one you prefer.
Yes. So we can blame you when you say it's crap.
Absolutely. So when it gets downrated, downvoted on the podcast feed, then it's all your fault.
That's right.
Because you've chosen what we have.
So last week was the long form. This one will be the edited version. We do not have SmackDown in front of us as we're talking. It turns out Actually, I think it would be a good idea. People would have enjoyed it last time because it was a bad commentary team of Cole and Cornette. Now it's this week. It's Ross and Lawler for the first and only time. They won't mind us doing it this way. They may change their mind, but it's Lawler and Cole. It's like, yeah. Let's waste no more time. Let's get up to speed for context. This is the week after SummerSlam 99, which basically is where they put the Rocket on Triple H's back and light him up like at the end of Toy Story 1. So Austin refused, or politely declined, however you say that diplomatically, to lose the Triple H in the main event, saying he wasn't ready. However, it was then made a triple threat match, and Austin had no issues losing to Mankind. So on Raw the day afterwards, Mankind, they lost the title to Triple H. So got the original plan going just a day later. And this is SmackDown following that. And this is, as the little promo video starts off the show, the proper I am the game period for Triple H.
This is the debut of the game, Triple H. He teased this on, I believe it was an episode of Sunday Night Heat when he was interviewed. Mm. And I can't remember, was it either Kevin Kelly or Michael Cole that were interviewing him?
I thought it was Jim Ross.
Oh, it might have even been Jim Ross.
Because they were trying to do what Jim Ross did for Mankind in 97.
Ah, so it could have well been Jim Ross. But they did this whole bit. I remember it clear as a bell when Triple H said, you know, everybody calls themselves students of the game. I am the bleeping game, which I thought was a great line. And the rumor mill has always suggested that was going to be the route for Owen Hart, had he not tragically passed away.
I'd heard that.
That was always the rumor. That was always the speculation that Owen Hart was going to get the game shtick.
Which doesn't make any sense to me because, as we'll see, it's one of these weird storylines. Because Russo was so heavily invested in, as I said last time, fan wanking. Like, Owen Hart as the Blue Blazer. The unplanned thing with Coco Beware coming back to feud with him because they'd been high energy and all high off his head in the terms of Coco Beware. That it's actually aged surprisingly all right because Triple H is talking about stuff that, if you read the dirt sheets, you'd be familiar with. But not everybody in 99 in the crowd was familiar with. So in that interview there, it's important we talk about this, ladies and gentlemen, because it's pretty much the next few months.
Yeah.
Triple H talking about, I got punished for the curtain caller and all this. It's like, yeah, we know that now. He was. And it turned out to be one of the best business decisions ever because he was punished and didn't win King of the Ring. We got Austin 360.
Yeah, it's true. Like, imagine. Like, I'm sure somebody has fantasy booked the idea of if there was no curtain call and if WWF had stayed the course, how different the world would have been. Would Triple H have got the belt in, like, 98?
I know what would
97.
Happen. Triple H would be here going, let me tell you.
He'd be a cultaholic.
Yeah.
So this week on Raw.
Well, you used to wrestle, isn't that right? Yeah. Was that a company called WWF?
That's right. Yeah. Vaguely remember that.
What happened to them? I don't want to talk about it.
So, okay. Question. Planned this question for you. Okay.
Oh, I love this.
So Triple H got the game gimmick. Whether it was made for him, I don't know. The speculation is, as we've said, it was for Owen Hart, who in 1999 could have also potentially fitted well with the game gimmick. From WWF's roster in 1999.
So in our fantasy booking, if Triple H wasn't
there. If Triple H wasn't the game, and if Owen Hart wasn't the game, who could have potentially been the game? So it has to be somebody with a little bit of... You could interpret it different ways. Like, I like the idea of you know, and it might get balked at. I like the idea of giving that to something like, say, for example, if you're going to strap a rocket to Test, make Test the game. The whole idea being like, the game has changed. I'm the new breed of WWF.
Well, that would work. The wordplay would be great. This is no longer a test. This is the game.
There you go. The test is over, and here's the game.
Sadly, Triple H, Test did have a rocket strapped to him. A rocket named Steph.
He did indeed.
So, actually, sadly for him, though, it would be a Roman candle.
So who do you think, then? If it wasn't, honestly, it would have been Triple H or Test.
If it's the game gimmick and the push.
Yeah.
A guy like X-Pac, maybe.
Oh, okay.
A guy that's been around for so long as I never got my put. I was in the clique. I carried the bags for the other dudes. I got punched for curtain call, even though I don't believe X-Pac was there. No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't there. But there was...
He couldn't get over the cage.
But wasn't there something about him because he was in that little group? Didn't he? He didn't get sacked, did he? Because
what am I talking about? He was in WCW.
No. Had he got to WCW at that point?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So he can't have been.
He must have.
He can't have been part of it. But
no,
still,
he didn't. No, because no, I'm talking complete rubbish. I do apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for all the people instantly going into the messages to go, Matthew, you're wrong. No, because Six was the NWO sixth member. The guys were in. Were the NWO that were leaving, so he couldn't have been there.
He can't have been the sixth member before the other two last turned.
I don't know where Sean Waltman was on the day of the curtain call. And now I feel like it's a smoking gun.
Ah.
He was actually killing Nicole Simpson.
so you're saying X-Pac then would have been a good ambassador of the game.
For the people who would start off at the bottom and gone all the way from the mid-card to the top thing, I think he's the only one there because they're already trying with... Badass Billy Gunn. And we'll get to that later on.
Oh, Billy Gunn could have been the... Oh, let's not ponder on that. Okay. Anyway. Interesting. Good pondering. If you want... By the way, he's at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter.
Oh, that's right.
Any suggestions on who you think could have been the game?
We'd love to hear
it. Yeah, I'm intrigued. Colour me intrigued.
Speaking of games, right now, the big release... If you are bored of SmackDown, want to go out and buy something, is Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver.
Oh, okay.
But only the PlayStation 1 version.
I feel like this is like a Chris Jericho ad in a podcast type link you're about to do. I feel like you're just like just slotting that in. Yeah, it's been a good night we had at AEW, and if you're having a good night, maybe get your dog some treats and go to this website.
I'm not saying anything, but this cake does say thanks from Eidos. So happy I remember who made that game. But yeah, there's a lot of Triple H, as we'll get to his little promo. Also, the debut of many, many opening segments of Triple H coming out and goes, for all those that held me back. And you do realize that Triple H is definitely the guy that got his heart broken by Vince McMahon during high school and never got over it.
he really does ham home the whole, look at me now, I've done really well for myself type thing in the opening promo. Incidentally, the video package that we kick off with, which showcases the rise of Triple H winning the belt the night before. If you're like me and you're a little bit of a not like an audiophile, like you like certain music,
sounds dirty, doesn't it?
It sounds filthy, doesn't it? But if you're into music and sound and stuff like that, the music they use in this video package is quite synonymous WWF stock music.
Yes,
and should you, I don't know, need it for a wedding? Or whatever, or maybe you want to, you know, be cremated to it. The song they use in the video package on the opening of SmackDown is Death Race by Darren Loveday. You're very welcome.
Oh, that's yeah.
Death Race by Darren Loveday.
Oh, Jesse Ventura, Special Guest Referee. Oh, SummerSlam 99. Oh. That's good. But you're my favourite incidental bit of WF music.
Go on.
Emergency beat. It used to be used for It used to be used for the... Body's broken incident. It's like oh, it's so good. And it's on adverts. It's a recent advert that used it and now freaked out going, I love this.
They're starting to release more of that stock music now through the Uncaged playlists on Spotify and things like that.
And I'll tell you what, I have realized, why do I like it so much? Why do I like it so much? The thing that wakes me up in the morning, it's my alarm.
Is it your alarm?
Yeah, legit.
Oh, God.
Because that gives you a heart attack. They'll wake you up better than espresso.
I kind of feel like the cage lowering theme would be a good alarm. It's also great music to make love to.
That skips ahead and it's ass man. Anyway, Triple H basically reiterates how good he is.
Yeah.
How... Except the year 1999 for Triple H was him trying out different outfits to see which one looked good. So he's not quite there, but we are building to Triple H becoming the best he ever was.
Yeah, we're in, as I think this is the phrase I used quite a bit last week, in the embryonic stage.
Ooh.
With a lot of big stars from the late 90s. And Triple H is, we've had long trousers, short trousers. Yep. We had last time we saw him, which was the pilot episode in April. We had him in the WWF Attitude T-shirt looking like an absolute jobber.
That was so weird.
It was odd, wasn't it? This time, bit of chainmail.
Yes.
Bit of chainmail on Triple H, like a chainmail vest going on. And that WWF title belt suits him.
The
belt suits him. That big, that the old chunky circle one.
Yeah, the chunky circle WWF titles, as we call it.
Post-winged eagle.
Yes. And now we come out, now The Rock interrupts. Very rude of him. Crowd goes mental.
Yeah.
We say that at 99, it's all right. And tells Triple H that if he's the game, he needs to go back to the drawing board.
Did this feel a bit like this felt very much like Triple H being a highly generic heel. And The Rock just getting his... Like, he was almost like a breakwater for The Rock getting his catchphrases in. The Rock would go, I'm going to put this up your ass. And Triple H would go, you're not good enough to lace my shoes. Oh, another catchphrase. You're beneath me now. Oh, da, 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 da. Yeah. It just felt like Triple H was just doing a lot of generic bad guy shtick.
Like I said, he was still getting it. He had the game bit.
Yeah.
He had that, but it's all coming together. He's all forming. As you said, embryonic.
Embryonic.
We can see his head. We don't know what gender he is yet.
Yeah.
So, and this is great for, I said last time, The Rock coming out, and you're thinking, every word he says was a T-shirt, a slogan, or something that you could buy something of. So, we've got the checklist here. Let me just get my pen and paper out. All right. $800 T-shirt. Yep. Candy ass. Trademark. Stick it sideways up your ass. Trademark. That was twice for some reason.
He stuck two things up Triple H's ass. Which made me feel like this promo was a little bit disjointed.
Yeah.
It felt quite disjointed because there was two occasions when Rock said, I'm going to put this up your ass.
Yeah, took his shoe off. It's like, look, this is how I'm going to do it. And just like, all right, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah, that would hurt. Know your role, trademark, and shut your mouth, TM. Basically, all the subtitles for the upcoming SmackDown game.
Yeah,
years.
He's pretty much made a franchise in one promo.
Yeah, and again, he was... I love seeing this, though. This was what I would wake up to on SmackDown Saturdays, as we called them. The day formerly known as just Saturday in my house as a kid. Well, Rocco, and the people chant my name straight away. Oh. Pavlov's dogs are drooling.
Phenomenal.
And the crowd are like, yeah, we love chanting your
name. Phenomenal.
And then HBK, the commissioner, hilariously with a Texas Wrestling Academy shirt, the dojo that gave us Daniel Bryan, Brian Kendrick, Paul London, and a load of good drug stories, shows up. And he is the active commissioner. We say active. He's
right.
The farthest thing from active. And this was the source of some news, I believe.
Well, the whole thing with Shawn Michaels at this point is he's sporadically on TV as the commissioner. He was a very low-acting commissioner. And he... I think what's the polite PR way of saying it, he was struggling with demons at this point.
Well, Kane attacked him.
the word Kane was in there. he was quite often toasted at this point. And like, this is a few months. This is like we're quite far down the road from WrestleMania 15, where he was meant to be more a focal part of WrestleMania 15. But he was. Was it WrestleMania? Am I crossing the streams? I'm sure he was meant to do more at WrestleMania 15 than he did, but because he turned up in a bad way, they said, nah, mate, just go home.
The next few years, every news story about Shawn Michaels was, he was supposed to be a big part of this show,
but
stuff happened, and I think you were saying it's because contract issues?
There was a combination of, obviously, Shawn Michaels fighting demons, and according to Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, around about this time, there was an issue between WWF and Shawn Michaels because WWF were paying Shawn Michaels a full salary and they'd been doing so for several years, but he was not on the road anymore because he injured his back. So they wanted to change his contract to pay him less. And Shawn Michaels said, well, no, I was injured in your ring, so I've got this contract with you. I'm not signing a new one where you pay me less money. So there was a bit of a sticking point, and that's why Shawn Michaels would sometimes pop up on TV and then sometimes not. He was actually the commissioner, I think, until like 2000. But because he was on there so sporadically, people didn't know. Because it was because he handed the baton to Mankind, to Mick Foley.
Mick Foley, I was going to say, yeah.
To Mick Foley to become the commissioner. And that wasn't until 2000. And I seem to remember a handful of occasions where he popped up and did stuff. I think he did something like, I remember him appearing on a big screen and making a lot of matches for members of the union against the ministry.
Yeah.
So it might have been before this bit. But yeah, weird time for Shawn Michaels, which is really sad because like even in this little bit here, there was still a lot of allure with him, and I feel like if he was in a good place, he would have made a really nice addition to WWF, you know. And we'll talk more about sort of how the show ends, and we can even get into a bit of fantasy booking territory from that.
Ooh.
But yeah, he wasn't in the greatest of places at
no,
this point.
Absolutely not. However, he comes out, and as the commissioner, he has power to do things, so he makes himself the special guest referee for tonight's match between The Rock and Triple H. Then Shane McMahon comes out and realizes he also has power and thinks that he'll make himself the double referee. And so Shawn Michaels goes, no, my power overranks you. I'm making it you versus Mankind tonight. And like a lot of stuff around this era, if you stop and think about it and you go, wait, hang on. So does the commissioner have more power than the boss's son? Wasn't he in the corporate? But it just helps, like Austin Powers, if you don't think about it too much.
They kind of, I mean, to be fair, Shawn Michaels attempted to legitimize it by saying that because Shane McMahon had competed in a WWF match, it made him an active member of the WWF roster, and mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels had the power to book members of the WWF roster in matches against one another.
That's
so therefore
fine.
He was an active member of the roster, so therefore he could book the match.
But then you get the feeling
theory.
With Shane McMahon, you get the feeling that, yeah, I'm the boss's son, so I have the power to say, sod off.
Exactly. He could have done. This was an iconic opening segment to SmackDown for several reasons. But gosh, near the end, it felt messy. Because it was like Shawn Michaels made the announcement, they hit his music, and then suddenly Shane McMahon appears in the ring. So obviously he sprinted from the ground, whoa, stop the music, no, because I'm the referee now as well. And then Shawn went, no, you're having a match later. And then Mankind then comes out, which I'm stepping on you here, but then Mankind comes out. This whole opening bit just felt cluttered.
I'd say it worked all right, because like I said, if you stop and think about it and not overanalyze it, like we're doing, then it's stupid. But it's just getting to the point, like, oh, this is happening because I said so on the commish. All right, fine. If it's a means to an end, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's like, we're booking this on the fly. Here's the opening segment. For a TV audience, it's like, okay, I'm just tuning in after whatever's just been on before this. I don't know, the Femme Nikita, if that was still on the air. So like, all right, cool, that's the main event. I might stick around if this is interesting to me. I might not. So I think it's very important. And it's just like, hey guys, if you haven't seen a wrestling show before, I'm the good commish. He's the bad.
Yeah.
Commish, son of the Vince, whatever he's supposed to be. I don't think it's that bad or
But then I think you got, but then also, like, I think we were far more forgiving in this era because this is the debut of SmackDown on UPN, right? If NXT kicks off like this on USA in a couple of weeks, we'll all hit the roof. Like, this is just what a cluttered way to start NXT. Adam Cole comes out and says, I am the NXT champion! and then have, like, Regal come out, listen, bloody ear, sunshine, and then have Miles Jordan come out, and then it would just be it would be cluttered. But because it's the Attitude Era, this is kind of the Attitude Era in a nutshell. Just a lot of talking and a little bit of controlled chaos.
Because also you have to remember this is 99. We can't go on Twitter and go, well, this is the match card tonight.
It's true, actually.
Moving on to this, Mankind comes out, and I'd forgotten how funny this guy was during this period from like 98 to 99. But it's funny because he's saying stuff that I think is hilarious, and no one's popping for it because I think they're not realizing the humor or satire to it and taking it at face value because it's just the wrong crowd for his humor. Yeah. So Mankind comes out and goes, why do today when you can hold off tomorrow? No pop. As I adjust the Salvation Army shirt and loosen this tie the WF gave me for free, no pop. While the dozens, very mild, and dozens of fans chant my name, Mankind. It's like, Mankind really was very underrated as I said humorous there. I remember 98 specifically when it was it Breakdown? Was the three-way between him, Rock and Shamrock? And he did a promo backstage where he says he can't wait to get rid of Shamrock in this match because Ken Shamrock promos are the third leading reason for teen suicide in America.
Oh!
And it was like, Jesus Christ! But the crowd's like,
I remember it was a Mankind promo in 1998 at SummerSlam when he was in a handicap tag match against the Outlaws, and Vince said, like, you know, you're going to make history, you're going to win this handicap match in Madison Square Garden, and then he got all hyped up and he said, well, I've got 15 words for the Outlaws. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck? Give a woodchuck could chuck wood. He was a very funny guy. The thing I remember from this time, because we were, you know, and we were the beginnings of Mankind and The Rock as this sort of odd couple tag team.
Yeah.
And the one thing that, and we'll talk more about this as we get into the whole Rock and Sock connection shtick, but the one thing that always frustrated Foley, he talked about this in his book, was that Rock gave him nothing. Like, right. Rock never cracked. When Mick was making the jokes and trying to, like, buddy up with The Rock, he never smiled. He never offered him any kind of... He never bit on anything. And there was one moment years after that when they were doing a segment in the ring and Foley said something and The Rock smiled at him. And Mick was like, that was all I needed in 99, was just that little something, a little bit of bite back.
But that... Hang but on, the argument is that's why
that's
it works.
That's why it was funny.
Mankind's like, whoop, 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 whoop. And Rock's just like an Easter Island statue almost compared to the... That's why it
yeah,
worked.
Yeah, I think it was... But I think... I agree. I don't know whether there was that you could have maybe done more if Rock had maybe given a bit more. I don't know. I remember there was one moment where The Rock's glasses fell off in a promo.
Yeah, they cut that out, but it was on the way of funniest moments.
I think it's brilliant. I'm sad they cut that out. I thought it was like and the fact that The Rock just stood there, Mick just put them back on him, and yes. The Rock thanks you. But anyway, that's yeah. to come. That's
but then, come. Like I said, like just obviously we're talking loads about the preamble here, but it's gonna be longer than the watch along. But when it would work later on, when Mankind's like needing assistance, like at Royal Rumble 2000, he's like he's handcuffed, which you know all about, Tom.
Oh, yes.
And Triple H about to get him, then Rock comes out, nah, it's my friend, I respect him, hits him a chair, and then leaves. It's a nice like I don't come out wearing a Mankind T-shirt, but he's my guy,
he's my mate.
Anyway, let's go on the rest of them. Brawl breaks out between all four men until the Mean Street Posse interfere, and they play the role of red shirts.
They really do, don't
These
they?
Are the red shirts from Star Trek, not in Disneyland.
I love that they're all in, like, casts. They're all still paggered from the SummerSlam.
they worked hard. And then the first match proper, Double J, Jeff Jarrett, with Deborah and Miss Kitty. That's right, he has two valets, versus Billy Gunn.
Now, just as we're recapping Raw... we see, you know, why this match is happening in the little recap from Raw.
Yeah, here's why.
Because, you've got it?
No, I want to do the here's why Simon Miller thing. Sorry. It's instinct now. Talk about Pavlovian earlier. It's like, why?
That's me hitting my head.
Double why, Simon Miller. So, yes, backstage on Raw, there'd be an open contract to wrestle the Intercontinental Champion, which is Double J. Billy Gunn would go, oh boy, goody, I'll just go get my pen. And then China would sign it when he wasn't around.
Oh my God.
And so Billy and China would face off. Jeff Jarrett would El Kabong China.
Oh, he walloped her, didn't he?
Yep.
Absolutely walloped her with that guitar on Raw.
And out of revenge, Billy would El Kabong Jarrett. As like last week, the opening match has more gimmicks than James Bond's car.
It's just, this is what we loved about Attitude Era, was everything was just cluttered.
We looked at the pilot episode a few months ago, stuff was happening. And there was a reason for it.
It was probably more ADHD than probably Raw and SmackDown is now. Like in the Twitter era. And yeah. I don't mean ADHD in like a disparaging way. I mean more the case of, It's catering to an audience that can't hold attention. If you see what I mean, it's that kind of thing. And whereas this one clearly was in a similar vein.
And I'm realizing I'm putting notes on there. This is a very important era because we're coming out of Crash TV formula because Vince Russo was very against the idea of SmackDown sort of being thrust upon him with no pay increase. I believe he got a pay increase, but it was the fact that he now, oh, good, I'm booking another show now with no warning, and I'm going to see my kids less.
The kicker, the thing that finished Vince Russo off, was when he went to Vince said, "I can't. You now want me to book a whole extra show? Like I've got no life as is now, and I've got my kids." And Vince McMahon's response was, "Why didn't you get a nanny?"
whose
entire life is his work, isn't it? Just get a nanny, mate.
My kids turned out all right. He's like, oh, all right, bye. And that Bischoff.
I think it was shortly after that that Russo had a chat with Ted and the boys and went over the road.
Yeah. It turned out to be a very good thing for the way over the long run.
To the point where people thought he's still working for the WWE.
Oh, I mean, how great is that?
He's gone in to just blow the company up from the inside. He's a double agent. Imagine being so bad that people think you're a double agent.
Yeah.
I love that.
People thought that for me for a while. They thought, like, what culture sent me here to ruin this podcast?
I think people think I've come from Wrestle Talk.
It's good when you just say the truth and there's a lie.
Oh,
Matthew winks at Tom. Tom winks at Hail Hydra. Anyway, some wrestles happens, as I've written down here, because there's so much plot happening. The wrestling is actually secondary, which is fine, because all just waiting to see what happens at the end of, like, the last book in the Harry Potter series. And China takes out Deborah with a guitar. Billy Gunn wins via a schoolboy. But then afterwards, Billy Gunn is still not quite okay with China because he's bitter Billy from China taking the title shot to begin with. So he tries to moon her, but she low blows him. Crowd pops because a man got hit in the genitalia.
I love that whole bit there where Billy Gunn, so angry with China, just drops his pants next to her. Feast your eyes! And China just low blows. It's so childish.
Do you think if a Shakespearean period, Billy Gunn would be like, I bite my thumb at thee, China.
I bite my ass at thee, China.
I wave my private parts in your general direction.
Oh, gosh. I think that was a Brave and a Monty Python reference in 45 seconds. That's a cult holic
record. That's right, as I drink my cup of tea, remembering that I am British. Anyway. Then Kane and X-Pac with their mashup theme, which I'd forgotten all about, Tom.
Yeah.
And if those that don't remember this period, it does the, I believe it's organs.
Just the organs for Kane.
Deep Purple organs.
Break it down.
Break it down. Yeah, that's, I like that.
Before we got there, we had some bits backstage that I think.
Oh, God, yes, I've scrolled down too much.
No, don't you know. That's the next match. That is the next match. But we had.
Still the culmination.
We had a WWF.com report. From WWF.com, download some porn.
No, Tom, you've got to point at your groin. Download this. There we go. That works in an audio
point
format.
That groin.
Winking at Matthew again.
Hail Hydra.
Hail this,
Hydra.
Sorry, what were you saying, Tom?
WWF.com report. They've reported that Boss Man still has Pepper, Al Snow's pet chihuahua. This is peak attitude era, this is. Al Snow's dog's been kidnapped by the big boss man.
Prop comic Al Snow, relying on his head, now a dog. And then later on, I believe there was Pierre, the moose head. Either we've passed that period or we're about to come to it.
Pierre, I'm sure Pierre replaced Head for a while.
Right.
Because Head...
I love this conversation, by the way.
Oh, wow. This is again, peak attitude era. Head got a nail, like a railroad spike.
I remember that, yes.
Driven through him.
Yes.
So it said, and do you know what? I quite like this. This was quite an interesting time for Al Snow. Al Snow had her head, the mannequin head. Boss Man drove a railroad spike through it. So, and it sent Al a little bit wacky, which is cool.
Because he was sane before.
Yeah, but he was like twitchy and aggressive and all this stuff. Now, and it was like every so often he'd like wince in pain. Love that. And then I think Pierre came along, which was the moose head. And then Pepper came along, which was Al Snow's pet dog. And, like, you know, using dog therapy, like, the dog was making Al Snow a better person. And then Boss Man, who is just a phenomenal dick at this point. Nothing else other than a phenomenal dick, nicks Al Snow's dog. And now he's holding him hostage.
It is really, like, you know, like, bad 90s action film. They have to have a bit where it's like, we have to show that the bad guy's a bad guy. It's having kidnapped a dog.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? it's your most basic. It's your most basic.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick.
And then after that, if that wasn't enough to keep you grilled to the screen, Jericho making his SmackDown debut. Well, so is everyone's making their SmackDown debut here. Making Howard Finkel clean his shoes because they saw Jericho with Ralphus. I thought, we'll have a bit of that.
We've got a Ralphus.
We've got the Aldi Ralphus and Howard Finkel.
The Aldi Ralphus.
That's right. But don't let that track from Kane and X-Pac. Before we've gone through that. Versus Big Show and Undertaker, a.k.a. the... A.k.a. Said that horribly, didn't
AKA
I?
A.k.a.
the Unholy Alliance. And I'd forgotten that they had their own theme together.
Isn't it the best?
It's very underrated.
Yeah, it is a proper underrated theme, the Unholy Alliance music, Big Show and Undertaker. This is sort of post-corporate ministry. The corporate ministry is dissolved at this point. And I'm sad that we've missed it. We have already had the promo that introduces the Unholy Alliance, which has kind of gone down in
infamy. Is it? Go on.
You know the one?
I do.
Which is the one where, I can't remember it word for word, but this is where Undertaker reveals that he sent Big Show into the desert.
Yes.
To find his way out of the desert, like to toughen him up. And he re-emerged from the desert wearing snakeskin boots that he presumably fashioned himself. And was he carrying a motorbike on his shoulders?
Again, I haven't seen that promo in about 10 years. And I think that's word for word correct, Tom. Absolute insane. Amazing. It was up there with the Hogan promo about I'll body slam Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 4. The Trump Plaza will crack in half. And then I'll dog paddle us all to safety. It was up there with that. It's just a great promo, just the wrong period of history to be doing it.
Absolutely.
And also,
what a weird time.
The Unholy Alliance, I didn't realise this, because like you said, the corporate ministry was dissolved by August 2nd. And like I said, the last time we did this, it was the pilot episode of SmackDown.
Where they debuted.
Yeah. A lot has happened in a month and a bit. It's like, this is how fast moving the pace of the show is. It could be 2 years or 2 months. Can like read all the storylines.
Yeah.
So no more corporate ministry. We dissolved by Shane. So we have the Unholy Alliance, which I didn't realize also technically featured Midian and Viscera.
Were they?
But not the Acolytes.
Were they in the gang?
According to Wikipedia, and it never lies to me.
Okay.
So I think Shane McMahon must have had custody of the Acolytes in the settlement. So instead, they've got Midian and Viscera, and someone has a sign in the crowd that says "Fire Midian and Viscera." They're not on the show.
I think the reason that Wikipedia says that, and I might be wrong, I'm sure there was a tag match. No, there was Triple H was meant to face. This isn't, and we'll get to this down the road. There was the build up to the six pack challenge, and there
that's
was
right,
that one night on SmackDown where like Triple H goes through like the 12 trials of Hercules,
that's right.
He has to face every single opponent he's facing in the six pack challenge, and he's meant to face The Undertaker in a casket match.
Yeah.
But The Undertaker is knackered, and he is routinely knackered throughout the autumn years of 1999. So he got Midian and Viscera to replace him in that match. So Triple H faced Midian and Viscera in a handicap match. So I wonder whether that's where Wikipedia's got the whole thing from.
You might be right there, Tom. I can't wait to see the following week's SmackDown to see if we're right. So, and also, I like this, but watching the big old Titantron, or whatever they call the SmackDown version. It was the Titantron,
it was still
right?
Titantron, yeah, because it's Titans Sports still, isn't it?
Just, I don't know, the SmackDown... Nah, it's stupid, isn't it?
Titantron.
I'd spotted, I don't know why I popped for this, one of the people that Big Show's given the showstopper chokeslam to is Tiger Ali Singh.
Is it?
I looked and went, that can't be right. I went, yeah. There's only one man big enough and stupid enough to be taking a chokeslam like that, and it's like... I can't believe I saw him.
Wow.
One of the worst wrestlers of all time. So I'm happy to see him be the recipient of the chokeslam. I think the other people in some of the other Titantrons are guys like the Blue Meanie. So I think they had like, all right, well, we don't want the big guys in Titantron every week. Let's have Tiger Ali Singh. Anyway, so Big Show was playing the student to Undertaker's master. which was half a shoot, as it turns out, watching all these documentaries about the Big Show, because Big Show, well, the shade being thrown at WCW here, the Giant headlined many a WCW pay-per-view, had hundreds of matches, comes to WF and they go, wow, you're really bad and untrained.
wasn't his second match ever against Hogan?
No, his first match.
Oh, jeebus. Dub, man. See it. I mean,
maybe they had a point.
I mean, WWE are guilty of it as well. You're tall. That's a personality trait.
Yeah. Yeah, all these things where they go, aha, stupid WCW. And then even Fit Finlay said, yeah, we hired Great Khali. We didn't watch him wrestle first. We just saw him.
We just saw him and went, wow.
He said, we probably should have seen him wrestle first. So, yeah.
So they're kind of backtracking with Big Show a bit at this point, aren't they? Because they've hired him and they've gone, we need to sort of get him up to speed very quickly. So hang out with Mark for a bit.
Yeah, and then Big Show said in many interviews that when he'd come backstage, Undertaker would be there, say, don't do that again, do this, or whatever, and be angry at him. So now it's on TV. It's like, because he's almost coaching him. It's almost calling spots to him. And so, again, I don't know what part of this is. The wonderful period of wrestling is supposed to be real and supposed to be a work.
Yeah, it's a bit art imitating life. I don't think it's really
art imitating life. That's it. Beautiful. And this is a three-way match. The Acolytes are in this. And there's no mention made of, like, are they aligned with Undertaker anymore?
No.
So no one follows that in. So I'm assuming they're not. And there's lots of fast action here. This three-way tag match.
You know
match.
What? It's a hot and heavy triple threat tag match for the titles.
And the highlight being, cool bit where Show goes to powerbomb X-Pac, so he has him in the powerbomb position, and the Acolytes, only A, not APA at this point, attacked until he fell down, then kicked X-Pac. So he got powerbomb from the in position. And the crowd goes, ooh.
All in unison.
Yeah, ooh. Giant pop for Kane's hot house of fire comeback. I typed that out. I thought it was funny in my head. And Undertaker commentary, Lawler or JR goes, that's your brother, Undertaker. What, Mr. Beat? Hearth brother.
Hearth brother.
He was very grumpy at ringside, wasn't he, Undertaker, during this whole match? He was very grumpy.
Leg was killing him. Also, his back was killing him from carrying Big Show. And then it showed the clips before the match where what happened at SummerSlam. There was a bit of a chant between Undertaker and Big Show.
I liked that bit at SummerSlam where he put the one boot on X-Pac and X-Pac kicked out and the place lit up. And it was like, whoa! And even I remember watching it. Because this is such a cool time. I remember being a fan at like age 15 of this. I remember watching SummerSlam and like watching X-Pac kick out of the chokeslam going, oh my God! Dude, come on! You're going to do it!
Yeah. Then Undertaker's not annoyed, tags himself in, gives him a tombstone and pins him properly.
Yeah.
He's like,
and just storms off.
So the great storyline here, yeah. So Big Show didn't get the pin on X-Pac because he did a one-footed pin. Here, he listened Undertaker, who stops commentating to go, no, hook the leg. And make sure you don't kneel for the anthem. And then, so Big Show, when he does pin X-Pac, hooks a leg, and they win. It's like, you literally seen him learn as he goes along.
But there was a bit just before that where Big Show got knocked out of the ring, and Undertaker calls him over to give him a pep talk, and Undertaker slaps the taste out of Big Show's mouth, like properly slaps him. And then Big Show just like grunts and gets back in the ring. Like, again, art imitating life. You know for a fact that Undertaker is just going, just be good at wrestling. God's sake.
Be better.
Really tough love.
Yeah, it's good seeing the green rookie, former WCW World Heavyweight Champion.
David Arquette. Yeah. No, it was a tough, I felt feel for the Big Show because he was really thrown into it. And they flip-flopped on him so many times. But in terms of like the fitness level, he was at his best here. Like he looked menacing. He looked great. But it was just, there was just that lack of experience missing. And I like the fact that Undertaker was legit training him. I like that a lot.
Yeah. I like that they bought him almost like Pacitti buying that dodgy bunch of Wish stuff. It's like, yeah, this would be great. Oh, hang on. You're rubbish.
Oh, this is all rubbish.
You're just 7 foot.
I've made a terrible mistake.
I didn't realize they stack poo that high. Big Boss Man comes out. He has Al Snow's dog. He has him. He's holding him hostage. And from this, he wants a hardcore title shot.
Wow. I think this is the most love the hardcore championship has ever got when Boss Man came out and said, you can have your dog back if I get a shot at the hardcore championship, Al.
And Boss Man says, look, win, lose, or draw, I just want the hardcore title shot. I'll give you back the dog. Well, all right. And it's done seriously. And the crowd's like somber for the SmackDown era. And then after this, all this like, no, please give me back my dog. I love my dog. Duh. It goes, all right, after the break, I'll wrestle you. It cuts to Laura and he goes, Unforgiven is brought to you by Magic the Gathering.
I love that. I put that down as well, that juxtaposition between this is something terrible happening to a man's dog. Anyway, WWF Raw is sponsored, SmackDown is sponsored by Magic the Gathering. We'll never dig on Chris Jericho again for subtle adverts in his podcast. There's nothing subtle about this. But this was a funny time. I like when this happens on live shows. I find it really funny to hear the commentators like hitting these lines about things. Like, oh, never forget Jim Ross. It was like, well, WWF Raw is sponsored by Delicious Fruity Fruity. Oh, yeah. Delicious Fruity. Oh, my God, they're so fruity, stone cold. Skittles. I love stuff like that.
I think what I've learned about WWE is there's probably some in the background, no, do it again, do it more. Like, just raving and going, more. Well, all right, fine. Yeah. My God, they're fruity. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, they're so fruity.
So I think Lola has to go, all right, calm down, Chief. So Lola gets to look after Pepper because it's only a kid. Make your own jokes.
You'd need some... You're perfect. You'd need some kind of sort of an advisory notice to do this in 2019, wouldn't you? Could you imagine them doing a dog napping storyline in 2019? Like you'd have Peter and the RSPCA like beating down the door of WWE if you did like you'd have to have a dog handler at ringside to hold Pepper, not give it to Jerry Lawler. Like what if that dog? All I'm thinking is what if that dog gets away?
I'm sorry, the dog was muzzled.
And that felt... It did feel a bit unsettling. Like, are you like? I know they're using a real dog, but it was just like, this poor dog, like, because you've got to bear in mind, like, dogs don't know this is a program. The dog in Frasier didn't know it was a TV show. The dog in Frasier thought he lived with Martin Crane. Sometimes.
Just thought the house was badly made.
Yeah.
Hang on, there's half sort of it. Like, it's all these people staring.
Dogs don't know it's telly. And Pepper didn't know.
I have just realised. It's like, yeah, they Bossman muzzled a chihuahua.
Yeah.
What's it going to do? I just realised that was a joke, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hey, don't get bitten by that.
Bossman's big complaint was, oh, he bit me, so I'm keeping him. It's like, it's a chihuahua, mate. You don't know what's going on.
A chihuahua
poor
bit me.
Thing.
It's a hard
dog actually pee on Jerry Lawler? Jerry Lawler made a big fuss on commentary going, oh, here we go, get me a napkin. So I like to think the dog legit peed on Jerry Lawler.
Let's hope so. It's kayfabe. Yeah,
it's kayfabe.
Yeah, we didn't see it, but it happened.
Yeah.
Ladders, chairs, and for some reason I've typed, they call me Cookie Sheet and the King of the Romba Beat. I don't know why I typed that, to be honest. That's not a,
you
not
high
a good
at
sentence.
This point.
Chick, chicky, boom, chick, chicky, boom. Snow takes a hell of a bump getting dunked off a ladder. It didn't really make a lot of sense, but it was hellish for a two-minute hardcore title match on SmackDown.
It was quite bitter, wasn't it? Yeah. It was quite aggressive.
It was doing quite a lot of crazy stuff at this point. And then Snow remembers, wait, why am I bothering with Bossman? My puppy's over there. Let me go get him. So Bossman twats him with the nightstick to win the title. Then runs off with the puppy anyway.
Takes the dog, and Jim Ross is outraged.
Absolutely.
He's taking the damn dog!
Hey!
I miss you, Jim Ross, on comms. Like, really, like full fat late night is Jim Ross. You know, he's pretty chilled. He's pretty chilled, Jim Ross, these days. Yeah. Like, even in the midst of, like, a crazy ladder match, he's pretty chilled, Jim Ross, these days.
I think Lola, as well, like, getting behind Bossman gave him legitimacy because Lola would always get behind Vince McMahon and Triple H and everybody else. Yeah. So they're treating it serious. Like, he's stolen the dog.
Yeah.
Like, the bastard. There's nothing, there's, like, nowadays, you'd be like... Like you can see, you can almost hear Corey Graves like smirking through his commentary. Oh, still in the dog, but he will have to look after him, mind you know. And then it's a nice thing to do, look after a dog you've stolen. You know, what if the dog ends up falling in love with a big boss man? You know, so Ransom, a thriller starring Al Snow as Mel Gibson and Big Boss Man as Gary Sinise, who's a bad guy in everything he's ever been. Have you seen that film, by the way?
I haven't seen Ransom, but I know what you're referencing.
Give me back my dog!
Pepper made Al Snow weak, is the story that we've got from this. The dog made Al Snow weak. I think that's what we're learning. Like, because he lost his focus because he hasn't got his dog.
Is Pepper the urn to Al Snow's Undertaker?
Pepper is Al Snow's urn. And that the idea of Pepper being in an urn is something that becomes alarmingly accurate in weeks to come. Oh man, this is a horror. You know what? Because I love dogs. Like I've grown to love dogs in my mid 30s. And like I normally like to show Alex little bits of my good lady Alex, like bits of the wrestling that we watch. I couldn't show. I don't think I could show her this. I think she'd be too angry that like there was a real dog used in a storyline in the wrestling world.
I think you said beforehand, like, we can't have dogs in wrestling and dog kidnapping storylines. I think that's one of the few things that would get the crowd actually boo someone.
Can you imagine? Oh my days!
Even a smart crowd like Chicago aren't going to go like, yeah, kidnap the dog. That's not going to happen. They're going to be like, you,
Jericho.
You're evil.
Jericho kidnaps Pharaoh ahead of Full Gear. Oh my days. Give the dog a little bit
Pharaoh
of the money.
Is Jericho, baby.
God, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
They do the Ric Flair Macho Man thing. Pharaoh was mine before she was yours.
There's a cinema of Jericho with Pharaoh. Some great Photoshop. John, can you Photoshop Chris Jericho with Pharaoh the dog? Thanks, mate.
She's damaged goods, Cody.
I'd suggest that Jericho shagged Pharaoh.
I can't believe like Savage probably backstage punching lockers when he heard Flair say that. Like, damaged goods.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
Speaking of damaged goods, Test waits for Stephanie's marriage proposal.
Oh, how lovely.
And again, last time we were watching SmackDown, Test hadn't even joined the union yet. And then the union, the only thing I remember them doing was they all won, I believe it was the Over the Edge pay-per-view, which obviously has been forgotten. They won a match, a tag match, and then they all got something from a McMahon.
Yeah, they won the 8-man tag, which meant that they all got like a wish.
Yeah.
They all got a match. They all got a match they wanted. And
did Ken Shamrock beat up Shane? I can't remember the rest.
Shamrock beat up Shane. Big Show. I'm sure Big Show got Undertaker.
That makes sense.
Big Show faced Undertaker. That was when he choked Undertaker through the ring.
Oh.
And obviously Unholy Alliance happened shortly after.
But then Test.
Yeah.
On a match with Stephanie. Oh yeah.
And he pump handle slams her through a table. And it goes in a really weird direction. No, he says I want Stephanie McMahon. And then Steph comes out. I genuinely wish, like, in history, just boot. That would have been hilarious. So then he says, oh, my match is, I don't want a wrestling match, I want to take you on a date.
Yeah.
So they go on a date. And now we are a few months down the road and we're the day before he proposed to her.
Wow.
A couple of days before he proposed to her.
It's good, like, doing this time skip.
Jesus Christ.
But like, in the meantime, Shane McMahon, because obviously everyone plays different roles here, is furious at the idea of a McMahon getting with a filthy wrestler. And so we get the Montagues and Capulets. And it's really good, though. This storyline's easily the highlight of Test's career. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to disagree with that. Apart from
Absolutely.
That thrilling Bobby Lashley match out of the Rumble one year. But yeah, the Test versus Shane McMahon match at SummerSlam, it's still talked about to this day.
Match.
Yeah, and it's... And what a great... People could really suck on this. Why did I say it like that? But they really could.
No, it's true. You're right, though. They can suck on this. They can yummy down on this.
The attitude there is rubbing off on me. I do apologize. But yeah, this is a hell of a storyline. And, that was just backstage. Meanwhile, in reality, Road Dogg comes out. This man just would say the dumbest stuff and get it over.
As Road Dogg was coming out, we see a little bit backstage. I don't know whether you saw this on yours.
Oh, go on.
With X-Pac walking away from the arena. Very upset that they didn't win the belts back. And he's going, I'm the weak link in our team, Kane. I'm the weak link. You don't need me. And then Kane, who is now talking like a human, as X-Pac's walking away, just shouts, Sean! Which is so not Kane. Just to go, Sean! Calls him Sean.
I don't remember that. I must have skipped that, but I do apologise. But funny enough, though, that got us even further. It did show clips when it was like, on Raw, and so happened between Big Show and Undertaker. It showed clips of Kane on commentary. I'm like, what? What do you think about that?
What's your favourite un-Kane-like Kane moment? Go on yours. I think we might have the same one.
Later on, when Tori was with Kane.
Yeah.
I think it was a bit where I remember now. Mankind had fake Mankind, who'd Midian, and he tied him up, and then Mankind just went to go up to Tori and went, hey, Tori. And decided to say a load of dirty stuff to her, so she'd get annoyed and tell Kane.
I've got a whole list of things I want to do to you.
Yeah, I'm going to do this. So Tori runs back to Kane and goes, Mankind did this to me, Mankind did this. And Tori hugs Kane, and Kane like puts her up again and goes, no! Like, the only thing you compare it to is Chewbacca after he realizes Han Solo has been done in the Kryptonite.
My favourite.
Kryptonite, Carbonite.
I know what you meant.
Whatever.
I know
Shut up.
My favourite. Was WrestleMania 17, and it was a clip from WWF Access. And you've got Kane wearing like a WWF t-shirt.
Yeah.
But with the mask on, going, yeah, I think it's really great. All the fans getting to see us, meet us all.
Oh, I've got to be better.
I think it's great. Didn't even have a voice box.
Oh, can you sign it for Andy, please?
Okay, Andy. My friend.
No, even better than that. He was on one of the Weakest Link specials, obviously with his mask on, and then the pre-show interview on the Weakest Link, he goes, if I don't know the answer to the question, I'm just going to answer Ecuador. I don't know. I've forgotten all about that moment. Thank you for bringing that back. So anyway, the Road Dogg is out here. And again, it would just make even the stupidest things sound smart and get a pop. He complains he couldn't trade Jericho's ass for a carton of cigarettes in prison. When the crowd goes, I don't know what that means, but yay, Road Dogg. And then Jericho made his debut in WF the 9th of August. This is his in-ring debut. And the career of Jericho, as we'll see, rather similar to Big Show's for a number of reasons. One will be the China feud, where China, being friends with Triple H, who's friends with everybody else, wasn't happy with how Jericho would work and got the bad image of he couldn't wrestle. And in fairness to Jericho, for a few months, he was wrestling like a WCW cruiserweight.
Yes.
And that did not fit in with the WF style at the time. So I weird. Think there was a point to what they were saying. Really shouldn't be the expense of his push. But I think Jericho ended up all right. I don't know. We'll have to see next week's episode.
Yes. It was a weird time with Jericho, as you say, because he was still wrestling that kind of style. And he was still using the double powerbomb as a finisher, which I think never suited Jericho. Jericho's always had a weird one with finishers, hasn't he? Like, throughout his entire career, but I think that's why I think Jericho is... That's why I love Jericho, because he's adapted his style so many times.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like there's about 17 different versions of Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
But I think of all the finishes that he's had, let's see if we can name them all.
Go on.
Okay, so we've currently got the Judas elbow?
Judas Effect. Oh, I've got the olden days. The Lion Salt. I don't know what his Thrill Seeker's move was. Double drop kick or something. The double power bomb. And I guess that worked when he was wrestling guys like Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko. When he comes to WF, he's like, all right, do that the Big Show, mate.
Walls of Jericho.
AKA Lion Tamer.
The Breakdown.
Breakdown, right.
Which was the...
The Stroke.
It was the Stroke, wasn't it? It was the Stroke.
It'll always be the Stroke to me, I don't care.
Codebreaker. What else did he have?
I'm sure there's
Did he
one
do
forgetting.
A standing enziguri for a while, or have I just made that up?
May have done it as a regular move. Don't
might
think
have
it's
been
a finisher.
A regular move. He might have done it as a regular move. I think we've hit them all, haven't we? I think we've nailed all Jericho's finishes.
But you're right, adapting. And that's why people seem very... There was lots of different opinions on the Judas Effect. But I go, it's great, though, because we all know Jericho of 30 years of wrestling, however long he's been doing it. Mm. So everyone's kicked out of the Lion Salt, Lion Tamer. So he's got a new move. That guy kicked out that the first time, and I think that's a good idea. People go, yeah, but it's an elbow. And I go, yeah, he's pushing 50. what are you expecting?
But it's the same as Jushin Liger. Jushin Liger used to do a load of flying stuff, and he went, this is going to knacker me, so let's see if we can adapt it. And he slowly introduced the running palm strike.
The shote.
Yeah, to the point where he made it a deadly finisher. A really simple, non-damaging deadly finisher.
Yeah.
Brilliant. That's great. I love that. Wrestling moves don't have to be flippy floppy crazy nonsense. It just something simple that the other guy can get over. Incidentally, at Private Party at AEW.
Oh, they do very simple moves.
They do. But one of their simple moves is a double back elbow. And they went to Jericho and said, we do this double back elbow. Are you okay with us using it? And Jericho went, well, thank you for coming to me. No. Because I do a back elbow as my finish. If you're doing a double back elbow and winning matches or getting a two count on them, mine looks awful. So please don't. So there's been a nice mutual. But I like...
It's nice of them.
It's respectful. I think that makes sense. I think it's nice that they do that. A fair play to Private Party. They've got enough great moves.
I was going to say, I didn't even know that move, to be honest with you. Because they do so many other cool stuff.
There's so much in their repertoire. There's so much in their locker that it's not missed. But it was nice. A nice little story from Jericho's podcast where they reflected it.
Mm. Well done, Private Party. And I did enjoy Vodka and Cranberry last week because there was so much of that on the All Out show. It's all right. It's pretty bitter. I've got a piece on it. But you know what? Not as bitter as Road Dogg was after this match. Oh, these segues. This is what you've taught me,
Tom. Nice, mate.
After this, the other match. And I think Jericho's style here is very cruiserweight based. Road Dogg was never, again, I've said this a few times on other podcasts, it's always funny to old school people that Road Dogg was the Armstrong that made it big, because all the other ones, Brad, I don't know what I can think of the top of my head, but Brad especially, were probably like a four-star match or whatever of Jericho here. Instead, Jericho almost forces Road Dogg to wrestle his speed and pace. And you can see he's like, uh-oh, I guess it's SmackDown 99, it's going to go 2 minutes.
In the same that Ringo Starr wasn't the best drummer in the Beatles, Road Dogg wasn't the best wrestler in the Armstrongs. He wasn't, was he?
But he was the biggest star.
But he was the biggest star because he was probably the most charismatic.
Yeah. And by the way, that line, everyone thinks friggin' McCartney or Lennon said that line. No, it was a comedian who said that. So it says how angry I am at Facebook for making people think that somebody from the Beatles actually said that line. No, they didn't. Shut up. Moving on, Road Dogg busting out the cardio here, which is amusing considering he's dressed like one of Tony Soprano's crew out for a jog. And Jericho gets sick of wrestling Road Dogg and decides, what the hell, I'll do the double powerbomb, with one powerbomb being on Matt and the other one being on the table, to officially lose his debut. That's a good omen, isn't it, Tom?
Isn't that weird? Like, it's a little bit something lost in the annals of time, is that Chris Jericho lost his debut match in the WWF.
Yeah.
What a weird way to lose, though. Yeah. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get what they made. Like, this is a finish that they planned. I don't know what it achieved.
I think maybe, after Chet Russell was over, that Road Dogg was injured at this time because they didn't have a match on pay-per-view. His first feud was with... It came out, threatened Rock and Undertaker, and then his match was with Road Dogg, but they didn't even have a proper match.
There was a promo at SummerSlam, that's right. Where Jericho appeared on the top of the stage, did a whole spiel, and then Road Dogg just went, "Why don't you shut up, bitch?" Which I thought was always quite funny. But what a downgrade for Jericho to debut, given The Rock and The Undertaker a little claptrap, and then your first feud with Road Dogg, and you don't even beat him. Like, if Road Dogg was injured at this point, beat him.
Mm.
Are we protecting Road Dogg? I think we are, aren't we?
It's big star, Road Dogg.
Big star, Road Dogg, biggest of the Armstrongs.
But
it just felt weird that we protected Road Dogg in this way. Like, at least, very confusing. Very bizarre. Anyway.
And then Jericho, there's a lot of stuff happening with Jericho here, makes Howard Finkel attack Tony Chimmel, which I can only assume was a rib backstage and must have been a sellout at the curtain. Someone's like, get in. Finally, Chimmel versus Finkel.
Well, it's always, it's that whole thing where this is still Fink being the Ralphus of WWF.
Yeah.
Fink was always up for stuff like this. I was always impressed with the fact that Howard Finkel, his normal speaking voice is his announcing voice. Like, you always assume that he puts that on, but then you hear him talk, he's like, "Listen to me, Tony. This is my job." I was like, that's your indoors voice and your outdoors voice. I love that. Because I used to do a lot of stuff in radio. And people go, what's your DJ voice? I go, well, it's just my normal voice. Like, there isn't any... And I always assumed that Howard Finkel's voice was put on. But I don't think it was. I think that was how Howard Finkel spoke and how he speaks. He said he was at Raw the other week. He's in a wheelchair, bless him. Has he had a stroke? Did I read he'd had a stroke?
I haven't read that.
Fink. We love you.
See, you know what? I would have made a Jarrett joke like that because I like Finkel so much, I'm not going to touch it.
No. Best not to.
Aww.
Love the Fink. Get well soon, Fink. Big fan of your work.
And also, comes to the ring to the Ultimate Warriors theme. Oh, speaking of ribs, there's more ribs at the start of the Flintstones cartoon where it knocks his car over. And then Chimmel and Fink fight. Crowd pops for Fink getting beat up. Big. They are a pro Tony Chimmel crowd.
This is hot Chimmel territory. This is Chimmel country.
This is Chimmel country.
We're in Chimmel country. They remember Chimmel like the Chimmel's grafted for this position. You know how long he carried Razor Ramon's chains backstage WWF in the 90s? He earned this spot.
The Chimmels controlled the Chicago territory in the 70s.
Oh, big star. Big star in the 70s, the Chimmels.
And Lawler gets my favourite line of the night and says, too much bone in his head and not enough in his back. And then, as if this wasn't enough segments happening at once, Ken Shamrock emerges from the USADA testing facility with a clean bill of health. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Jericho collides into him and says, I'm sorry, Shamrock. He goes, all right, fair enough. Sends Finkel on him, then runs away. I tell you, it was never dull on SmackDown.
Oh, it never
99.
Was dull, was it? It was always, there was always stuff happening.
Yeah.
always stuff. So Finkel nearly got a battering by Ken Shamrock, but then Jericho turns up with a chair and clatters Shamrock. So Shamrock's match, he was coming down to have a match, and there's, oh, I guess he's not now, the end.
The end.
whoever was facing Shamrock had the night off.
To be continued. And then Test proposes to Stephanie.
Steph in her orthopedic shoes.
I was going to say, what is she wearing? The orthopedic shoes.
Orthopedic shoes, Stephanie McMahon. This is a special era for Steph.
That's right.
And she was the girl next door, the wallflower Stephanie McMahon. Gosh, it's weird seeing that. I did fancy her like this. I think we talked about it last week. I did have a little crush on Stephanie McMahon at this point.
I thought she
My
was...
taste in women in wrestling is really weird. And it's
How so?
Changed over the years. Because when I was this age, like I was a big fan of Stephanie McMahon, like the quiet girl next door type. And in 2019... I'm a big fan of Jordynne Grace. Like, whoa, like she's beautiful and she's strong and she's talented and she's fun. Like,
and she's designed like a Toyota touring car.
Oh my God, she would clatter me in a heartbeat. But I'm not going to be one of those weirdos that fancy Jordynne Grace and slide into her DMs. She's written a whole book about them, several books about
that's
them,
right.
actually.
She's into my DMs, but it was about botches, so it was all right.
Oh, that's fine then. That's fine.
Message from Jordynne Grace. Oh, it's about mistaken a ring. Get in.
I think I've had a couple of back and forth with Jordynne Grace in Twitter form regarding. I think I was meant to commentate on one of her matches, and then she ended up not making the show, so that was a shame. I'd love to get her on Desert Island Graps to talk about wrestling matches that she loves. But I've asked her, and then we'll see what happens. But honestly, she's beautiful. She's beautiful. Like, Jonathan Gresham is a lucky, lucky guy. And Jordan's lucky, lucky girl to have Gresham.
I know. It's like that Roger Rabbit scene. It's like, she's with Jonathan Gresham? Yeah. What a lucky goyle.
What a lucky goyle.
But, I mean, I didn't see anything in Stephanie, even as a kid. Because I discovered World of Wrestling magazine. And they had a pictorial with one April Hunter.
Oh!
And let me tell you, if Bill Apter ever needs a hand or some money, I am there for him. My wrist muscles thank him forever. Anyway, Steph says yes. But obviously she says it in her own Stephanie McMahon way, which is, the dogs need neutering after that. Pepper runs away again. And then the Mean Street Posse. I put MSP and I'm like, what does that stand for? Show up and beat up Test, which is great. Then Mankind remembers his heart belongs to the union because he paid his dues and makes a save for Test.
Mm.
I mean, there is continuity here.
Yes, there is indeed.
It ain't the greatest, indeed. But it is there.
But then also it bleeds into the fact that Shane and Mankind are set to have a match at some point in the night. And
that's
I guess
right.
They just decide they're having it now.
And this is a beautiful setup segment because Mankind goes, look, I've already come out twice. I'm not coming down that damn ramp again. Come on, get in the ring. See if you can find the
intestinal fortitude.
Thank you. This is
you. Intestinal fortitude.
I'll give you this chair. You get one shot. Just Shane's like, oh boy, oh boy.
There was a funny moment when, like, he says, "Why you decide I'm just going to be here hanging out with the posse?" And it's Pete Gas, Rodney, and Jerry Abbs just dead on the campus, and Mick just like walking over and talking to them. just again, what you said earlier, Mick Foley was funny. Like, one of the funniest guys.
At least the crowd
guys.
Popped for this one, because they're all dead.
Yeah.
Hanging out with the posse. Chairman Man hits him with a chair, like Pokemon. It wasn't very effective. It's a very slow brawl. Mankind, bless him, needed all the help he could get in 1999, which is why one of the reasons he retired in 2000. But we'll come to that later on. Doesn't matter. Mankind socko Shane while the Stooges help Test deal with the MSP. I hope there's a Stooges MSP match we get to watch later on.
Oh, there's bound to be. Yeah. I'm sure they do have a couple of little shenanigans.
But China distracts the referee. I have no idea what he was doing during this match to miss all this interference and everything else happening. So Triple H can hit Mankind in the leg. So he loses to Shane as Triple H. There we go. The corporation was no longer as well. I guess they're part of the corporate ministry and then split up. They just both died. But Shane McMahon was still aligned with Triple H in China, despite Triple H having his own theme. Yeah. Hmm. It's like, okay. Just aligned, but not.
Yeah, they're kind of like kissing cousins at this point.
Oh. got my search history.
Massive pervert. So, massive pervert.
Okay, and then we get a backstage video with Austin being interviewed as he's injured.
No, we've missed a bit. You've missed a bit.
Oh, God.
It's all right. It's all right. Chris Jericho jumps in the car and drives off because Ken Shamrock's chasing him and Fink, but he leaves Fink behind. So Shamrock realizes he's left Fink, grabs Fink by the throat, and he's like, "Don't you ever do that again." And then Ken goes, "What's that smell?" Thinking they can do the line from No Holds Barred. Dookie!
Yeah.
And then Ken just goes, "Did you crap yourself?" and puts him down. I thought they missed a golden opportunity to do the whole bit from No Holds Barred. They came that close, like an inch close to doing the No Holds Barred bit.
Because there's only one scene from No Holds Barred that needs referencing, and it is...
And it's the
what's the smell?
Dookie!
Dookie! That and the random appearance of Stan Hansen going,
tiny wangers! And Hulk Hogan doing naked push-ups.
Oh, sorry to distract you. I'm too busy doing push-ups for that big charity match. I have for that. Like, what the hell?
What a... Rip 'em. Love it.
Rip 'em. First name, and you arsehole. So Austin's injured out of action. Too busy watching No Holds Barred on some DirecTV pay-per-view somewhere. Triple H is being blamed for this because of the actions on Raw with the chair.
No, he batters him at the end of SmackDown, at the end of SummerSlam. At the end of SummerSlam.
I thought it was at the start of Raw.
No. At the end of SummerSlam, Foley wins the belt, and then Triple H just goes crazy with the steel chair, just clatters Austin with the chair.
I remember that.
Once Ventura's left, so SummerSlam ends with Triple H battering Austin with the chair. And then Austin misses Raw, and then we get the whole shenanigan of... Oh, incidentally, Triple H broke Jim Ross's arm on Raw. Yeah, there's Jim Ross with like a little bit of tape around his arm.
Yes, he did.
He broke my arm on Monday night, but he's one hell of a competitor. that's a lot of motion, a lot of movement in a broken arm, Jim.
Yeah, Jim Ross misses one day. Wow.
They work him too hard.
Yeah. And he's never mentioned again. It's like, oh, yeah, broke my arm, but it's all right now.
It's fine now. I can move my arm.
There's a proper Northeast thing, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I was in hospital. Just leukemia. Sorry, man. Then, Ivory versus Tori. No, not that one. T-O-R-I.
The other Tori.
And I had forgotten about Tori's banger of a theme.
It was a good theme song, wasn't it?
Dun-dun. Dun-dun. Dun-dun.
Dun-dun. Evening gown match. 15-year-old Tom Campbell loved this stuff, and I apologise for 15-year-old Tom Campbell.
I don't apologise, 15-year-old Tom Campbell. Why am I hanging around here? That sounds weird. backstage, topless, thong-stricken Tori is trying to like just walk to the ring like that because it's 1999, ladies and gentlemen. But I saw this on the network, and I don't think I would have noticed this on my like VHS copy from Sky One Saturday morning thing. But Tori appears to have a very unfortunately placed tribal tattoo around the arse.
Oh!
I'm not sure if you noticed this. I hope it's tribal tattoo, but it's literally around the silhouette. The lines, if you will.
I never spotted her tattoo around the arse.
Because it sticks
area.
Out over the thong. And I'm like, why would you have a tattoo there? One, it probably hurts like hell. And two, on the wrong quality of tape, it may look like I'm wiped. I think it's one of the worst places I've ever seen a tattoo.
That is a weird one. I don't know why you'd put your tattoo there. I guess, I don't know.
She was very hippie-ish, I believe X-Pac described her.
Oh, really?
In a shooting interview.
Okay.
I believe it was Tori. They said, what do you think about Tori? And he said, big bush.
Still met Barbara Bush.
That's right.
The nurse.
That's right. Oh, we'll get to her later on.
Nurse BB.
Yeah,
Hall BB. Hall of Famer 2020.
That's right. So... It's an
evening gown match.
It is an evening gown match.
Gosh, this is the male apology match of 2019. We're all scumbags.
The good old days, Tom. 20 seconds of action, 10 seconds of arse, and I've just got a review here of Ivory during this period, and it just says Ivory the Terrible.
Hey, the best technical evening gown match that ever happened. I thought you might like to know this because I'm trying to sort of.
Say Patterson Briscoe.
No. That was something else. The best technical evening gown match ever was Invasion 2001, and it was Tori and Tori Wilson and Stacey Keibler versus Trish Stratus and Lita, because they actually incorporated wrestling moves into the removal of the garments. It was like a sunset flip that turned into a removal of underwear and stuff like that. It was just, I mean, the evening gown match is historically deplorable.
Yeah.
But at least they tried to make a technical affair out of it, like get a couple of stars in there.
I mean, it is funny because like, goes, oh, why can't we have it like this? And he goes, well, we're not just aiming the product at 14-year-old males.
No.
You know, so we have things like that. Which was always interesting when a guy like Tess would appear and there would be this like, yay! Noise. It's like, and it's almost like Monty Python goes, are there any women here tonight? Why are you here? But I guess, yeah, there was something for everybody in these days.
And didn't now last we have... very long, did this anyway?
No. Was there anything before I get to the main event? Amazed at the amount of stuff I've missed.
Oh, by the way, Tori won, carried on beating up Ivory afterwards.
Oh, glad you get all the details in.
And then Luna came to save her, whether we've got a Luna-Tori thing.
Yeah.
Luna was still on the books at this point. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, I don't know what she was... I thought she was with Gangrel, but she was in real life with Gangrel. But until then, she was just around.
I don't think they were ever on air as a couple for the WWE.
I think you're right, actually.
I think they were a couple, but they were never a couple on air.
Yeah. No, you are right, Tom. She was aligned with the Oddities in 98, and then in 99... So, the main event.
Didn't she feud with Sable in 99?
I think everyone feuded with Sable.
I'm going to turn your Estee Lauder face into an Andy Warhol original.
So, Luna, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Oh, what a voice.
China and Triple H are backstage before the main event being interviewed by Lillian Garcia. And China's like, I don't know who you are, but we'll answer your question. Lillian Garcia debuted on Monday, just gone. She's very new to the company.
I didn't even get that, did she?
Yeah, I looked it up and she made her debut on Monday Night Raw as a backstage announcer. The Monday before this. So she is very, very shiny new to the company at this point. She's working as a backstage announcer.
Oh, so when she says, I don't know who you are, it's like, no, I legit don't know who you are. I'm not throwing shade.
Yeah. I think it was a bit of column A and a bit of column B. A bit of shade, but also like a little bit of a, who are you? You're new. Let's you know, give you a bit of grief. So China continued to flip-flop as like a face and a heel at this point. And I just didn't, it was a very confusing time. Like,
no, I think it worked because they knew it. She was... good when she's wrestling Billy Gunn or whatever in the undercard, but she was a baddie with Triple H. I think it worked.
There, yeah. Okay.
As long as the two bits were kept separate and there wasn't any coalition between the two, it was fine. So
there were no cross-pollination.
It was 2-for-1 as the price. And hey, Tom, what's Triple H's favourite fighting discipline?
I don't know.
Muay Thai! Muay Thai! Muay Thai!
Keep your finger off the switch, Dunn. Was that the first reference to Kevin Dunn? Ever.
I wish it had been the last.
In the music, in the theme song with the lyrics where he talks about all the DX bands sing about all the rules, the stupid rules, keep your finger off the switch, Dunn.
I wish...
referencing Kevin Dunn, the producer.
Don't you wish you're on WF.com downloading this so you knew what we were talking about.
Triple H in his very fine chainmail attire tonight, which is a good look. I like chainmail.
That deserves
Triple
a second
H.
mention.
Yeah.
Chainmail Triple H. Didn't chain last very long.
Chainmail Triple H.
Unbelievable. Because Skullclap Triple H is coming up.
Yeah.
And Skullclap Jeans Triple H is coming as well. Those don't go together very well.
Oh, yeah. We go through some weird... he had a lot of action figures at this point.
These are all upcoming DLC for 2K2020. Which version of 99 Triple H do you want?
Oh, gosh, that's going to be a thing in 2K2021, isn't it?
Of a 30-man Royal Rumble, it's all the different 99 versions of Triple H.
You could probably do that. I know in 2K19, you can basically assemble like an 8-man tag with all... I think it's all Daniel Bryan's versus all Triple H's.
Really?
Yeah. It's good fun.
Right, the main event is Triple H versus The Rock with special guest referee Shawn Michaels while he can still stand up. Rock goes for the finisher early, something you like to do in matches.
Yeah. Some exceptional camera work at the beginning of this.
Yes.
Where like they see The Rock on the post and they shoot like between Triple H's shoulder blades. And then they got the shot from low down, which I think they used a couple of times, where Triple H and The Rock are like jaw jacking each other. Dunn got a kick in just then. Let's give him some excellent camera production in the opening bit. And then we have the match, which is very Attitude Era.
Yes.
Very Attitude Era.
Triple H takes his mighty fly out the ring bump. I forgot he used to do every match during this time.
He loves that, doesn't he?
And it did look good. And pay-per-view main event brawl around the stage, so we can get a good look around this brand new blue and white set. In all its blueness. China gets thrown out. So Shawn Michaels... China gets thrown out because Shawn Michaels is sick of her interfering. But in doing so, Shawn Michaels doesn't see a pinfall on Triple H. Crowd buying it. crowd sinking their teeth into this.
Yeah, they're
going, hey, Sean.
They're buying on everything in this.
Like, Sean.
And it is just punch, 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 whip, punch, 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 whip, whip, punch, 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 suplex on the ramp, punch, 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 punch. That is every attitude match at the moment.
That style,
every attitude era match.
Yeah, that style like lasted until you know the radicals kickstarted the main event.
Until people turned up who could wrestle.
Boo. Even more so, Shane McMahon shows up, distracts Shawn Michaels. And the crowd really no Sean, and it's great seeing this because this is the crowd. They're like they're not on Wrestling Observer Live listening to Alvarez.
No,
I'm like, how's it going, everybody? That's what sounds like a 99. You know, they're just there like, yeah, Austin.
They're just
know.
Invested.
Yeah, it's like, and no, Sean. They're into it, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
Cool. It's almost like Punch and Judy. They don't care. They won't punch. No wait, that's not right. How's Punch and Judy work again?
Punch and Judy is, well, you don't really, like, there's no face and heel in Punch and Judy. Well, I guess Punch is the heel because he's beating up Judy, but yet it's comical for both ways.
They want Judy to win, but nowadays, a Chicago or Philadelphia crowd.
I think we want
crowd,
the crocodile to win.
I was going to say, the Philadelphia crowd's like, crocodile, eat them all. Yeah. Ruining it. But yeah, right now they're into this. And then, talk about the camera work. Rock bottom on Triple H, sets up the people's elbow, crowd going banana, and then the camera work here, bounce off the ropes once, comes up twice. Shawn Michaels into frame.
Oh,
sweet chin music.
What a shot. Perfect. Picture Lovely. Perfect super kick from Shawn Michaels to The Rock. I do believe as well, this is probably, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'm sure this is the only interaction physically The Rock and Shawn Michaels ever had. Because the whole thing was they never had a match.
Yes.
Because there was a bit of legit heat between them. I don't know whether that's still the case anymore.
I need to allocate
bygones and all that.
Sorry, I need to allocate all the things to say what happened what. But Shawn Michaels always, almost say he was anti-Rock, like he's going backstage going, I hate The Rock. But, for example, the main event of, which WrestleMania was it? Was it Triple H? Was it 2000?
2000, which 2000 was Triple H, Rock, Mankind, Big Show.
Yeah, Mick Foley said in his book that he wanted, like, he thought, no, it should just be a singles match. And then Shawn was like, yeah, I agree. I don't want The Rock in it. Like, it should be you. But Foley was like, no, I shouldn't be, like, it should be a singles main event match between Mankind and Triple H. No, that's not going to work. But then there's things like that. He was pro Triple H.
Yeah.
To the point where he was anti-Rock. And I believe The Rock's been very diplomatic about it. I think he said some little ummings and errings over the years, like, yeah, Shawn Michaels wasn't a fan of his when that meant something. However, luckily for The Rock, Shawn Michaels, as you've said earlier, was becoming less and less important.
Yeah, so it wasn't too much of a concern that Shawn wasn't a big Rock fan. I think there would have been a point in WWF where if Shawn wasn't a fan of The Rock wouldn't have gone on.
Right.
You know, if it was really on the radar of Shawn Michaels, like in the mid to late 90s, Rock wouldn't have amounted to anything. But it would have gone a bit Shane Douglas.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He missed.
It's weird, isn't it?
He missed, you know, cocaine Shawn Michaels by this much. The same way that Cactus Jack got out of WCW before he wrestled Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it. Because Jack and Hogan was going to be a thing and Hogan wanted to batter him.
Yeah, he went bye. So that happens there. Shawn counts to three. Triple H on the pedigree. 1, 2, 3. Big Hogan. Shawn Michaels does the crotch chop because they're DX. Well, they were DX. DX is no longer. Well, we'll get into later, everyone.
It's kind of like a pseudo corporate DX. Ironically, it would legit become a corporate DX in like 2006.
Yeah, right.
But this is sort of the artistic corporate DX,
right,
as it were, where the degenerates have become the management.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the following weeks because as far as I know, this didn't go anywhere.
No, and that's what really upsets me because I love the idea, and we joked about it just then. I love the idea of, in 1999, the degenerates becoming management.
Yeah.
Basically. Like, Triple H is the champ. Shane McMahon is there. Shawn Michaels is the commissioner. So you've got these hostile, anti-corporate entities that are running the show.
Yeah. And that'd be like the Sex Pistols was like, at the very last gig that they ever did together, you went, good night. Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
And it's my favourite moment. And it's the great, like, it's the great swap. From Triple H being Shawn Michaels' corner man to Shawn Michaels being Triple H's corner man.
Right.
And it's just, that idea bled so well. We never really saw much of it, really, because the moment that they got back together in 2002, they Triple H turned on Shawn Michaels. Then we had the feud for many years. Then they got back together and they were DX and they were on a level pegging. We never really saw Shawn Michaels as sort of like the Triple H wingman.
Like how Flair would be for Triple H during Evolution.
We never
saw
Shawn Michaels do that. And but it was, but it's a shame. But as we've said, there was some wranglings. WF wanted to, according to the Observer, WF wanted to renegotiate Shawn Michaels' $750,000 per year deal because he doesn't go on the road. Actually, only appears sparingly at television. But Shawn Michaels' feeling was he was injured in a WWF ring, so he refused to change the contract terms. So that is why we probably don't really get much in the way of a fallout from this one, which is such a shame.
Look, though. Still got Triple H versus The Rock.
We did indeed. Yeah, what a nice way to kick off SmackDown proper.
Beautiful. Also of note, WWF Attitude was released in the UK August 9th, same time Jericho made his debut, 2 weeks earlier than the show. Just in case we didn't come back to this, Acclaim Sports, back when Acclaim was big enough to have two divisions, lost the WWF rights during development to THQ, which I would love to hear more information on this if anyone's listening to this. Or maybe a Triple Jump will have some more information on this. Okay. And how you can possibly lose the rights to something you're making.
I know. That's weird, isn't it?
Like, what a horrible position to be in. So Acclaim rushed the game. There's lots of things left out. For example,
what you could tell.
Yeah. Like, there's the trainer character is in it, but there isn't a training mode. Stuff like that. I have to go through. This is just off memory. There's a bunch of stuff that we're going to have in. However, because they were losing the rights, they had to flood shops with copies of this before they were not allowed to sell it anymore, basically. This helped them get the number one in the charts across all countries, I believe, across all platforms for a brief period. Then Christmas came along. Was not there, as I found out when I asked my parents for a copy.
Because it all gone.
Exactly.
Because they got rid of all the copies.
And guess what I got instead?
What'd you get?
WWF WrestleMania 2000 by THQ.
Oh, mate, that's an upgrade. Oh, that is such an upgrade.
So, thank you for losing the rights midway through. Couldn't have happened to a better company.
That is an upgrade and a half, my friend. Well done.
So that aside, thought I'd get out there to give you this time capsule that we're giving you.
I like it.
I'd like to recap this, think of a thing going on, and how we look at things. What was something that you remembered from the show?
Okay, something I remembered was the way that Triple H introduced himself as champion, because it was the cadence. He went, "I am the World Wrestling Federation champion!" And they used that in quite a few video packages going forward. For some reason, I remember, as soon as he said it, I remember the cadence of that. I remember the Shawn Michaels heel turn. Was Jane like, "Whoa, what was that about?" Because we didn't get SmackDown at this point in the UK. So I remember watching highlights of it and going, "Oh, I wanted to see that." Yeah. And then watching Raw and going, "Oh, they've not mentioned it." Those are the two things I remember. What about you?
Fantastic. I remember the game.
Yeah.
I am the game. Like Judge Dredd. The game. Anyway. I remember X-Pac and Kane's tag team. The wacky partners who kind of get along. And I remember Tori.
Just about.
Awesome theme. just a theme. But what about things you'd forgot? Big bomb. Things that you've forgotten about.
So things that I saw and went, "Oh, yeah.
Oh, that.
Oh, that thing." I think the thing that struck me was I'd forgotten that Fink was Jericho's Ralphus.
Right.
That was nice to see Fink doing some more character stuff. Mm-hmm. I always like him as a wacky character. So I enjoyed seeing Fink playing the Jericho stooge. I think it was... To introduce Jericho in that way probably made sense because anybody that knew him would already be familiar with him in that shtick of like a hapless sort of older stooge with him. So I'd forgotten that and it was nice to see that again. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'd forgotten that the Unholy Alliance had their own theme.
Yeah, and you were pleasantly surprised by it.
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, what's this?
Yeah.
This is an Undertaker of whatever. And it's like... I don't know how it would work. Well, welcome to Dong.
Welcome to Dong.
Welcome
That's
to
Joey,
Dong.
It's Joey
dong,
Ryan's dong, music, dong. Isn't it?
It's a big bad Dong tonight. So, yeah, I was happy to hear that again for the first time again.
Yeah, fresh,
that makes sense.
Fresh again.
Yes.
New again. Okay.
Exactly.
So there we go. So that was the pilot episode of SmackDown.
No, it wasn't.
That was the debut episode of SmackDown.
That's right.
My apologies.
So episode zero was last week. This is episode one this week. There I think that's go. How it works.
I think so. So you've now heard Two different styles of program from myself and Matthew Gregg from Off Off Watchermania.
Hello.
Hello. So we had last week, we had the watch along where we did the commentary for it. And this week we had just the talk through, which ironically is roughly the same time.
Oh God.
So.
Well, there's so much to talk about,
lots
though,
to talk
fairness.
About. We would like you to tweet at Cultaholic or at Tom Campbell or at Matthew Gregg or all three of us. Tell us which you preferred, because that will be, we'll do a vote thing and we'll see which one is the most loved going forward, and we'll do it that way. We're easy. It takes about the same time for both. So, like, time-wise, it doesn't make a difference. There's pros and cons to both. But we'd like you listening to choose which one you'd like.
Mm-hmm.
So get on that.
That's your, right. It's up
eggs.
To you.
Thank New York, New York.
Start tweeting the dudes.
No, don't. Slide into DMs. Here's Matthew Gregg.
Hello.
I am at Tom Campbell.
Hello.
We are at Cultaholic.
Hi.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to join us. I love you. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.